is going to be sharing with us. And as most of you know, Jillian's been with us for the last year and a half or so. She is a student over at the seminary, and she has been working with our ASL ministry and been just doing more outreach to the deaf community. And we've just been really grateful to have Jillian's voice on staff and excited for her to share with us this morning. And let's just pray for you, okay? God of grace, thanks so much for this day. And thanks for your word. And thanks for how it will come to us now through Jillian. And may her words be your words and give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand. And in understanding, may we turn to you and find healing for our very lives. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, I'm going to read from Romans 13, 8 through 14. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are all summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. When in staff meeting we read this passage, I almost laughed out loud. Because just days before, I had read the same passage to a friend. And it had sparked a wild fight right in front of a group of 12-year-old girls. You see, once upon a time, when I was 12 myself, I went to church camp for the first time. I loved it so much that I have gone every year since. And it honestly changed my life. It's where I discovered my love for sermons. It's where I developed how I do devotions, which brings me closer to God all year round. When I went into a serious depression because my best friend died, it literally saved my life. When I discovered that I was becoming deaf, I found love and acceptance that I was afraid I was going to lose when how I communicate changes. But this year, I had an altogether different experience. You see, hot metal ruined me. Suddenly, I'm more aware of sexism, racism, homophobia, and neurotypical ableism. So, that means you don't got a mental illness. So, when I went to church camp this time, I saw the racist remarks that were in the sermons and how blatantly white every single person was. I saw the sexism of the dress code and how it singled out and slut-shamed all of the young girls because men who were old enough to be their fathers were sexualizing what they were wearing, and that, of course, was the girl's fault. I saw ableism in the fact that one young man injured his leg and had to go home early because all the dorms are on the second floor, and if you can't go upstairs 10 times a day, you can't go to Cherry Run. I saw teens who were struggling with mental health issues being told that if they prayed hard enough and they believed hard enough, their illness would just go away. But one thing stood out particularly. There was a woman who had been my counselor when I was a camper and had gone to camp her entire life before that. She wasn't welcome this year. Why? Because a few weeks before camp, she came out as a lesbian. Now, some of the campers knew her and were able to connect the dots between her coming out and not being welcome at camp this year. So they wanted to talk about it during our nightly devotionals. So I turned to my co-counselor, and I told her that I would be more than happy to talk about this. But since it was a conservative camp, I didn't want to only show one side. I wanted the girls to know what both believed, let them think critically for themselves, and trust that they would make the right decision. So I asked my co-counselor if she knew of anyone at camp who might think differently than me and be willing to talk to the girls about it. She looked shocked. What do you mean think differently, she asked. There are no sides to this, you're right or you're wrong. She demanded that I tell her exactly what biblical evidence I had for my beliefs at this conservative camp that were so controversial. So I read her this passage. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So I told her that I think if you're being loving to God, if you're being loving to others, and you're being loving to yourself, I don't think you're sinning. She disagreed, because she believed that homosexuality hurts God and is therefore not loving to him. I was then told that I was corrupting impressionable little girls by presenting that any LGBTQ lifestyle is even an option. And it was expressed to me that she was shocked that I believed this if I was going to be a pastor. And this made me think about how unaccepting and unloving this place was. And I really struggled with processing what that meant, that a place that had been so formative to my life was so inaccessible to anyone who wasn't white, cisgendered, straight, able-bodied, neurotypical, and preferably male. Now, a lot of people here at Hot Metal know all too well the pains of being hurt by the church. I've been super lucky in my life. The church I grew up in was a second family to me. And Hot Metal is radically loving and exclusive. But all too often, churches and church camps can leave us broken instead of whole. So what are we supposed to do when the people who are supposed to love us the most are the ones who hurt us? Carrie Kampkaki, a renowned author, wrote, "Everyone in your life serves a purpose. Everyone has something to teach you. And while people who are kind and friendly help teach you who you do want to be, those who are not kind and friendly teach you who you don't want to be. So when you encounter someone who hurts your feelings, lean into that feeling. Ask yourself what they did to make you feel that way. Was it the words they chose, their tone, the way they picked favorites and then ignored everyone else? Whatever they did, make a pledge. Promise yourself that you'll never treat anyone the way that they treated you. This is how you become a kinder, more compassionate person. This is how you learn from their mistakes. And when you meet someone you really like, lean into that feeling too. Ask yourself what they did to make you feel so good, and then make a pledge to yourself to be more like them. This is how you become a more kind and compassionate person. Regardless how anyone treats you, you stand to benefit. While some people teach you who you do want to be, others teach you who you don't want to be. And it's the people who teach you who you don't want to be that provide some of the most lasting and memorable lessons in social graces, human dignity, and the importance of acting with integrity." So when I saw how excluding my church camp was, I made a promise to myself to be more inclusive when I became a pastor. But then I got thrown another curveball. After this revelation experience, I got offered the position to be the new youth director at this camp. So what do I do? Do I stand by my principles and refuse to be a part of a camp that I see as potentially harmful? Or do I be the change I want to see in the world and take the position, hoping to help others who I know are trying to change it from the inside? That's where the second text comes in, Romans 14. When welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do, and don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with, even when it seems like they're strong on opinions but weak on the faith department. Remember that they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. For instance, a person who has been around a while might be convinced that he can eat anything on the table, while another with a different background might assume he should only be a vegetarian and eat accordingly. But since both are guests at Christ's table, wouldn't it be terribly rude if they fell to criticizing what the other ate or didn't eat? God, after all, invited them both to the table. Do you have any business crossing people off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? If there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle it without your help. So am I being the inclusive pastor that I promised myself I would be if I refuse to associate with people who think differently than me? If I don't associate myself with people who think differently, then conversation and communication won't happen and nothing changes, because it is only together that we can make the world a better place. Confession time. There was a time not so long ago when I struggled with this myself. I knew the church's stance and I wanted to be a good Christian, but I didn't see what the harm was supposedly done. But I couldn't share this debate with anyone because I feared if I told someone I wasn't sure, I would be a horrible person either way. Either I'm horrible for considering the fact that it might be okay, or I'm horrible for thinking it's a sin when it's not. So silently, I listened to both sides, asked questions as carefully as I could so no one would know that I hadn't picked a side yet. It's always been super important to me that if I'm wrong, that someone helps me find the right way. I'd rather be proved wrong and discover the truth than convince someone I'm right when I'm not. I believe that if I'm wrong, I want someone to educate me, not belittle me. But relationship always has to come first. Without truth, there is no trust. But without trust, there is no truth. If I tell someone a truth, but show them no love, and they don't trust me, they are not going to hear the truth. But if I don't tell someone the truth, I'm not being loving and I'm not being trustworthy. It's a hard line to walk. My counselor and I were able to talk about this and truly listen to what the other said because we had a prior relationship. She was my best friend from camp, my soul friend, someone that I heavily lean on for spiritual support. We were able to talk about this, and even though it got pretty heated, we walked away still friends. If I had been paired with a stranger and we had this argument, I can bet you neither of us would have listened or cared about what the other said. We both would have said, "She's wrong," and never thought more than that. But we both knew that we loved each other and cared about each other, and we were both searching for the truth, even if we are on different parts of that searching journey. So we debated, but we did not separate. Because we both believed, even if it didn't always act it out, that if I'm wrong, I want to be educated. So even in this very unhot metal church camp, I did find hot metal in that relationship. Last week, during the sermon, Pastor Jeff read this from our membership class handout, and I loved it so much, I thought it deserved a second read. Our profession of faith at Hot Metal Bridge Faith Community is not a set of doctrines that we rigidly believe in or dogma that we must follow exactly. But rather, it is a profession that Jesus and his story are making a difference in our lives. And through Christ, we are experiencing the transforming power of God's love and grace. My co-counselor and I loved each other despite our differences because we both loved Jesus. We were both on that journey of being transformed by God, and we both cared more about finding the real truth of Jesus than convincing someone else we were right. Like a good little Methodist, I would like to end with a I'd like to end with a quote from John Wesley. Though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike? May we not be of one heart, though we are not of one opinion? Without all doubt, we may.